Welcome to Murfreesboro Church this beautiful Sunday. Trust everyone's had a great Christmas this weekend. Everybody grab a redback hymnal, turn to page 120. We'll sing Victory in Jesus this morning. 120. Good singing this morning. Amen. We're thankful for that victory in Jesus that we can have if we know Christ in our hearts. Let's turn over to page 46. We'll do the first and last verse. Page 46.
Good morning, and still Merry Christmas to everybody. Good to see everybody today. I hope you've all had a good week. I hope you got to celebrate Christmas quite a bit. Hope you didn't eat too much. Anybody didn't eat too much? All you had to do is be here other Sunday, and you could have ate too much. And so, it is good to be back in church today. Paul said, we have given up our Bible studies for this week and this coming week and this past week. And Paul said, it's been too long since we've been down here. And I agree. I was still down here this past Wednesday, but it's been a too long to be in service, I think. We need to be in service for God. And we hope that everybody has had a good, safe Christmas. We did have a friend who had a car accident yesterday, and we'll ask you to remember them in your prayers. There's others who's had other troubles over the last several days, and I just hope and pray that everything has been well with you throughout this Christmas holiday, and we've still got this coming week that we celebrate a lot with as far as the new year is concerned. But it is a time that we should come together and serve the Lord as much as anything. Throughout these coming days, I do want to make a couple quick announcements. As I said, our Wednesday night service has been, we will not have that this week due to the holiday season, but we will resume that the next week, which will be Wednesday, January the 6th. And I was asked to give this notice: from 5:30 to 6:20, the 7th through the 12th graders are gathering in the fellowship in the new youth room, is what we're calling it, just off to the right of the kitchen area there. There will be pizzas and cookies, and what we're asking our kids to do is to bring their friends. So all of you that are from 7th through 12th graders, that doesn't mean the older ones like Brother Sam that tries to be a 7th grader. But we still want him to bring his friends. But there will be pizza and cookies for everybody there. And we want to encourage you to bring your friends to this. And then we'll be dismissed to Bible study classes, it says. And please, let's share. Let me try it again. But please let Star and Vicky know if you're planning on coming to this event that we're trying to have for the teenagers. So keep that in mind. And so with that, we also want to remember this is a good time of service for the Lord's cause. And so let's be about God's business as we are going throughout these coming weeks. And let's keep in mind that the Lord wants us to be serving Him all the time, is what I want us to do. With that being said, let's move on to our young kids. And we have our children's church for our young kids this today. Kids, I want you to come over to this side today. We try to rotate that. So all my young ones, please come up here if you possibly can. We're a little thinner today with everybody. I know a lot of people are still traveling. A lot of people are still, well, there's even some sickness that's going about. So we are glad to see each and every one with us today. And this month, we have been celebrating the birth of Christ. And with that being said, I want us to take the next two Sundays, and we're going to study about the birth of Christ a little bit more. Now, three Sundays ago, I guess it would have been now, or two Sundays ago, before, we talked about Mary, and we tried to show you how she was just a young woman, just a young girl, about yay high probably, and just young in every way. One that, Lord willing, y'all get to that age one of these days. And then last Sunday we talked about Joseph. Well, I know that we celebrated the birth of Jesus yesterday, but I want us to talk about that today. And in a sense, we're going to do just basically a little bit of the children's story of the Christmas story as we talk about it. And I know that y'all kind of acted it out last week. Let me ask a question of y'all. Do y'all have a favorite part of that story? Now for me, it's always, yes. For me, it's the part when you see Joseph and Mary coming in. And you set up the scenes. You see, that was very important for us to think about as the birth of Christ. You see, Mary and Joseph, as we talked about over the last couple of weeks, were very special people, chosen people of God. Mary to bear the Son of God, and Joseph to stand in and act as his father here on this earth. And as they were doing that, there came that day, that time that they needed to travel from Nazareth all the way down to Jerusalem. Now, my understanding, that would have been about a 3-4 day trip. And then to go on down another day's journey down to Bethlehem. And as they went down there, they got to the place, and you know the story, how that there was no room for them in the inns. There was no room for them anywhere. But somebody said, we have a stall. We have a manger scene where that you can rest in. In those days, it was nothing unusual for people to sleep in barns, to sleep where the cattle did. It was some pretty common thing, as people didn't have a lot of room for guests. And so they would take the hay, and they would use it as a bed. So Mary and Joseph went into this stall, into this manger scene, where the animals stayed, and it was time for her to bring forth that son. And it said she brought him forth, and she laid him in the manger, in the cattle trough, if you would. And they got in, and they being in that place, and then God sent his angels. I believe God sent to some shepherds. Yes, you were, and you were a very lovely little angel, as well as the other girls, too, that were. But as they were out there abiding, the shepherds were out there abiding the flock, these angels spoke to them and said, behold, in the city of Bethlehem, there is a babe that is born, which is Christ the Lord. Now, I'm not that good at telling this story other than the fact that I want you to know why we celebrate. We celebrate this birth because it was Christ the Lord. And the thing about it was, these shepherds, they went. They followed the instructions of the angels. And they went into the city, and they looked for that baby. And they found him. And you know the great thing about it was? Yes. But the thing about it was, though, they went back and they told everybody that they saw about this babe and about what the angel said, that it was Christ the Lord. And they found it just like the angels had told them. So they spread it all around. Now, the reason why I tell you this today is you can tell your friends that we celebrated Jesus' birth, that we celebrated that Christ was born, where that you could be saved someday. So spread it around. That's what I want you to do. Spread it around to all of them is what I want you to try to do. Okay, I'm going to turn you loose, and I'll let you go back to your folks. Sometimes I think the Christmas programs that we have are very good for us to remember the birth of Christ. And I don't think that we will forget it. But it's good for us to be reminded about it, isn't it? It's good for us to hold it in our minds and just get that reminder. So let's continue to help our children, our young people even, to remember about the birth of Christ. With that being said, today we are glad to be here today. We're glad to have our visitors with us. I hope that you have been blessed so greatly throughout this past week. But if there's prayer requests today, we want to bring them forth. And we always allow one of the young people to come and read our prayer requests from our Sunday school. Who am I got today? Oh, Landon. Okay. Thank you, Landon. Come on.
coaches are Helen Wrighthouse, Debbie Cox, Brent Fior, Shirley Dillard. The prayer requests are, remember Brother Sam and the family of his friend who passed away this week. Also Brother Sam as he preaches at the funeral. Pray for Brother Sonny's daughter-in-law who is sick. Pray for our service today as Brother Hackett preaches. Pray for Sister Joan, Becky's parents, families who lost loved ones.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Landon. Good job. I appreciate Landon's willingness, as well as the other kids, as they read from time to time. And I hope that we can encourage our young people to take part in our services as much as they can. And if you're not one that's been reading, Brother Rowan has been he's blessing me a lot by helping me get these ones, different ones to read. And if you'd like to read, and I know I'm being kind of nutty by saying that because most people do not want to get up in front of them, but if you will read for us sometime, let Rowan know. Yeah, I'll do it. And just say, I appreciate the opportunity by doing that, is what I want you to do. And now we want to go on in our service as far as prayer requests. Does anybody else have a prayer request to be made? I hope and pray that we can all follow the Lord this week in this service. This is the last service of 2021. We don't have the promise of 2022, do we? So let's make this service the very best service that it can possibly be unto the Lord. Let's look for that blessing today. There's kids, there's people here that's probably not saved. And we want to see them saved, don't we? What's your part to play in that? You can't save them, I agree. But what is your part to play in this? Tell them how you got saved? Singing a little louder? Doing whatever you can for the Lord today? Let's be about the Lord's business today in this service. We won't go to the Lord in prayer. Is there any other prayer request? We'll call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way today. We'll call on Brother Sam, if he would, to start our prayer. Everybody that will, please pray.
Appreciate that good prayer, Brother Sam. Turn over to page 386. 386.
Thank you.
were in Sunday school class this morning, Brother Tom brought up an important fact about, for some of us, I guess us ones that are saved, it's hard to separate Christmas and Easter. So let's sing the old hymn at the cross. A couple of verses of that, page 264. 264. Turn over to page 92. We haven't done Just a Little Talk with Jesus in a while. Let's sing that as our last song this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Allen. Good to have him playing the piano for us today. Appreciate him being here today for that. As we said, there is still quite a few people that are traveling because of the holidays. Well, that didn't work. And there are quite a few people that have a little bug that's going around, and that basically have the sniffles. And of course, we do have the virus that's still about. And I just pray that we can all be as healthy as we possibly can. And let's be prayerful as much as we can about those that are sick. And I'm still thinking a lot about those that's lost loved ones during this last few little bit. I should say, Paula mentioned earlier in the week how so many people had lost loved ones during the year, and they were experiencing, we'll say, Christmas without their loved one for the first time. And that's not a good feeling. I know that. I've done that myself. But we need to be prayerful for those that's lost loved ones. But today, I want us to be prayerful for us right now. We need to be trying to do as God would have us to do in this service today. So be prayerful for us, and let's be about God's business in this service. If you have a word of testimony or anything at this time, you follow the Lord, and you do as God would have you to do. Anybody got anything on your heart? As I've said so many times, I don't believe in having a program, and I don't think I say this very much, but I do believe this. I don't know how to run a church service. The Lord does. And so I basically try to rely on Him. And so if the Lord leads, you follow, is what I want you to do. If nobody has anything on your heart, turn over to 2 Corinthians and the 8th chapter. 2 Corinthians and the 8th chapter this morning is where we're going to take our reading lesson. Be prayerful for me and pray that the Lord will lead this message where He wants it to go. I believe that every message that comes from the Lord, as the Bible says, will not return unto Him void. It goes for a purpose. Sometimes we see that purpose, and sometimes we're scratching our head saying, well, where did that one go? And we may not see it. We may not see where it goes. We may not see the effect of it. It's kind of like a small breeze. It goes out, and we don't even really pay attention to the leaves moving, the grass moving, or anything like that. But it has its effect, and it may only just move it and allow it to come back. The Lord intends for it to do more, but sometimes we get a little bit stiff-necked. People do. They get stiff-necked, and they refuse the effect. They say that's not enough. So this morning I want us to look for the effect of this message today in our hearts. As we said, we're going to take a reading lesson from 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. I'm going to start reading with verse 9. And it says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago." And that word forward means willing, is what it does. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. And it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that hath gathered little had no lack. That's reading verses 9 through 15 this morning for our reading lesson, and I ask you to pray for me today. Let's pray that the Lord will take this message and use me as a mouthpiece for him today. As you might kind of gather from this reading lesson, our message today is going to be on willingness. On willingness is what it's going to be. I mentioned that where he said, when you became forward in an earlier time, he said, I want you to have that willingness, is basically what he was telling us in that time. He also talks about having a performance, is what he talks about. But the main part is, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that he hath, and not that he hath not. Now, we're going to talk about this a little bit more as this day goes on, and this message goes on, but I want us to think about, what do you have today to offer to God? Now, when you first read these verses today, you kind of get in your head, well, he's going to preach on giving. And in a sense, that it may get into the giving part as far as monetary things is. And there is some of the scriptures that if the Lord leads, it may go that or sound like it'll go that way. But today, our main thought today is going to be about our willingness and the willingness to serve and a willingness to be available. Notice that verse. It's not what that you have that God is looking for. Maybe it's not the things that you think that you don't have, but a willing mind is something that he looks for. If you'll think back before the time that you were saved, there had to be a willingness of mind within you before you got saved. And what I mean by that is this little point right here. There had to come a time in which that you heard what was being preached, what was being sung about, what was being testified about, and you started to have in your mind, I don't have what these people have. I don't have Jesus Christ as my Savior. And you started having a point in your mind where you started wanting to be saved, is the way that I will put it. That is a willing mind. You started taking those scriptures, those thoughts that people were implanting within your mind and by their speech, and you started having a willing mind, is what you started having. And with that willing mind that was coming to you at that time, God increased his drawing power upon you. And that drawing power led you even closer to the Lord. And as you were hearing these things, the feelings, the drawing power of God, even more so, brought about a willingness of yourself to desire salvation even more. And that's the way the drawing power of God actually works. That drawing power, that conviction, that thoughts that you knew that you were not at a place where that you could be saved, you were not righteous in no way, but you desired the salvation of God. And because of that, there became a willingness in you to serve. Now, with that willingness, it eventually works in to a faith to be saved, is what it does. Now, the main part of this message today, though, is going to us that have already been saved, because it is needful for us today to have a willingness of heart today. I'm going over into the 24th chapter of the book of Genesis at this time. The beginning part of this chapter, Abraham is old. His wife Sarah has just passed away. His son is grieved very much by the passing of his mother. And Abraham starts to realize his son needs a wife. And he didn't want him just to pick any particular wife. He wanted him to have the right wife. Now, you that are parents whom your children have gotten up to an age where they're starting to think about the boys and the girls that are about them, and they're starting to get what we'll call a little bit sweet on somebody, and you're looking at them, you do better than that. You ever do that? Did your parents say that about your spouse now? You could have done better than that. No, never mind, brother. Miss Ruth, I'm sorry. But I'm just being mean here. But the idea that I want to bring to your mind is Abraham wanted a particular woman for his son. First of all, he wanted whom God wanted. That's what he wanted. And he wanted him not to take one from the land that he was traveling in. I'm satisfied there was many lovely young women in the land of Canaan. There was many women there that probably would have been a beautiful bride for him. Could have been a good woman for him as a bride. But Abraham said, no, you need to go back over to where I came from. Go back over to my father's house. And there I have a brother who has children there. And he says, that's where this child, this wife, has got to come from. And he caused his oldest servant to swear to him that he would go and find that wife for Isaiah. Now, for Isaac, excuse me, for Isaac. And because it was a great journey and because it was a special woman, Isaac didn't get to go. We wouldn't do that today, would we? We wouldn't allow Brother Sonny to pick his daughter-in-law, would he? None of us got to do that kind of... We all done our own picking, whether we done right or done wrong. Abraham said, servant, you go, is what he said. And he made that long journey, probably of many weeks, to get over into the land of Mesopotamia, where Nahor's family was. And then that servant got to a place. Now, first of all, I want you to see, first of all, the willingness of that servant. He was willing to do whatever his master said. He was willing to go to great lengths to satisfy his master's desire for his son. And so he went a great distance in that very, very thing. But the most important thing happens about the 8th or 10th verse down. And what he did, when he got over into a certain place there, where he knew he was in the right area, he began to pray. And what he did, he started praying at that time, Lord, make my way prosperous. It's important for us today as godly people to have a desire to have a prosperous thing happen. And in this thing that's prosperous, it's not what we want, but it's what God wants. It's not about what other individuals in the church may want, but it's about what God desires for his people and for his cause is what it was all about. And he said, Lord, that my way might be prosperous today. He said, Lord, just let these signs come about. And his signs were pretty simple, if you think about it. He was a man that was in a desert area where there was a well, but there was no way to draw water. And he said, just let one of these maidens, and let it be the first one, I think is the way he says it. He said, let that maiden which I say unto me give me a drink, that she would say, I'll give you a drink and I'll feed your camels. I'll water them also. And when he did that, he said, not only let her be that willing to work and do that service, but let her be of the family of my master Abraham. There comes this young woman down, Rebecca by name. She had her pot on her shoulder, and she walks down to that well, lets her pot down into the well, fills it with water, picks it up out of there, and she puts it on her shoulder, and she starts on her way. And that servant walks up to her, can I have a drink? Why, sure. She got it down for him. And as he is taking a drink of water, she says, I'll water your camels. And she went back to the well and she drew the water out and filled the troughs up that day. And just so that his camels could drink to the fullness of their that there was. And he rewarded her with a golden bracelet and a golden earring. And so he rewarded her greatly. But he said, who might you be, and is there room in your house for me and mine to stay? And she said, I am, and she gave him the lineage. I'm not going to go into that. And she was the exact one that God wanted for Isaac. Now, if you go on over into the about the 40th chapter, 40th verse, of this same chapter, this servant has gotten to a place. He's come into the house. He's there with her brother and his family and her father and them. And this servant, as they're fixing to eat, he's still willing to do as his master said and taking care of business first of all. But what he turns around, he tells them the story. Why his master Abraham had seen him and about his prayer and how God had blessed him by allowing him to meet Rebecca. And as he is relating this story, he says, she is the one I believe that God has chosen for my master's son. He said, will you send her with me? Now, if you'll drop down just a little bit, he says, and now, if in the 49th verse, and now if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, if not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. And then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebecca is before thee. Take her and go. Let her be thy master's son's wife. We're talking about willingness today. You have a servant that is willing to go the miles, to take a long journey into the into basically what we'll say almost an unknown. I don't know if he'd ever been there before or not, but the fact of the matter, he was willing to make the journey. Today you may be a person who has never done anything for the Lord. You just got saved. Maybe you've just been born into the family of God and you've never even told anybody about that salvation. But the fact of the matter, you're fixing to make a journey that you've never made before. That journey is a journey of service unto God. Yeah, it's not an easy journey, but it is a journey of blessings. You'll notice what it says in this book here, how that servant, when that he was blessed of God to see the workings of God, he fell down and he worshiped the Lord. I believe he praised God. I think he knew what was going on. He saw how God was blessing his master Abraham. He was seeing these things going on, so he lifted up the name of God. He wasn't lifting up the name of Abraham. Yeah, he deserved some because he followed the Lord, but he was lifting up the name of God. There's so many times that when we as God's people are in our service, we tend to think that we are nothing in people's minds. We tend to think that we do not have the ability to influence. We think that our words are actually nothing. But I want you to know something today. You have more influence than you realize that you do. You have an opportunity to speak, to advise, to give people the understanding that they need. But there first needs to be a willing heart. Now, if you go over into the book of Exodus, and you're going to kind of think, how's this going to fit in? Bear with me just a little bit. The 36th chapter of the book of Exodus is the part of the Bible where that the children of Israel, they've just came out of Egypt. They've been there at Mount Sinai. They've gotten the law. They have received it of God. And now they are preparing to build the tabernacle that they can worship in. This is going to be God's house, you might say. It's going to be the center of everything to them. But they need certain things to build. When this church got ready to build this building, there had to be some things that had to come together. Well, I'm satisfied there was nobody in the church house that had, I'm guessing about 3,000 or 4,000 two-by-four studs. Did any of y'all have that in your ability that day? Did you have that, we'll say, in your back pocket? No, you probably didn't. Did you have the so many thousand square feet of concrete that made up the floor? You see, in those days, they didn't use concrete and two-by-fours, but they used the things that they had. And God had blessed them as they had left Egypt. Even the things that they used in the building of that tabernacle, it came from the people. And the Bible says in the 20th verse of verse 35, Exodus 35, I think I said 36, and it said, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And they came everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whose spirit was made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all of his service, and for the holy garments. They came both men and women, and many as were willing hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and tablets, all jewelry of gold, and every man that offered an offering of God unto God, unto the Lord. And you might say, I don't have those things. God is not requiring that you have those kinds of things in this service today. But I want you to understand something today. The service that you do, and I don't want to belittle this in any way, but probably the least thing that any child of God can do is sit in one of those seats. That's about as least that we can do, is to occupy a place in the house of God. But I want you to understand, it takes a willing heart to be in that space. It does. How many of you got an excuse from the devil not to come to church today? How many of you thought within yourself, oh, I'm too tired. Christmas has been too much. I can't go to church today. But I'll go. A willing heart. But that is truthfully one of the least things that you can do. And I commend you for at least occupying the space that is here. But I want you to understand today, the efforts that you do in the work of God, the efforts that you do, whether it be in prayer, that's gold. If it's speaking out for God's cause, that's silver. If it's basically saying within yourself the things that you need to do in your own mind to be of service of God, that's like bronze, and that's not anything just to take for granted. You see, you give of the things that you have. For he said in the 12th verse of our reading lesson, for it, if there be first a willing man, it is accepted according to the man that a man hath, and not according that he hath not. And what that means is, if you have the ability to serve the Lord and give it as gold, I'm talking about your service today, and it's gold, give it. But if your ability is just a piece of wood, and I want you to know something today, your service can be the propping stone for the greatest work there is. You may think that what you have is not that great, but it is great in the eyes of God. You see, in that tabernacle, and I'm not going to say I'm going to remember each pole that they had. Each one of those poles stood. They held a portion of that tent up. And not only did it hold that tent up, but it served its purpose. And you have that purpose. Are you willing to be willing to serve in that purpose? You know, we had a little discussion, one of the members and I, the other day, and he said, we've got to work more at getting some of these younger ones to take hold. And I agreed wholeheartedly. That's been one of my prayers today. You see, we've got young members over here, young members there and there, and I want them to become, to be on fire for the work of God. I do. I want you to have a desire to do for the Lord's cause. You might say, but I'm just in school. I'm just a high schooler, grade schooler, whatever there is. Do you realize today that David, when he went up to fight the battle with Goliath, was probably no more than a teenager? No more than what some of you are? Some of the young ladies are probably saying, yeah, but that's boys' work. They're going out. They fight that battle. How old was Mary when that she was willing to be the mother of our Lord? I want you to listen to a statement that she said during that time that the angel was speaking unto her. The angel had already, and I've talked about it at different times throughout the last month, how that Mary was called, spoken to by the angel of the Lord, saying, you're going to be the mother. And she asked the question, how's it going to be? And he told her, he said, the Holy Ghost is going to come on you, and you're going to conceive and bear a child. Not only will you bear a child, but your cousin Elizabeth is already with child. And he's telling her all these things that she could do. Young ladies, the year said, well, that'd be too much for me. And Mary, in the 38th verse of the second chapter of Luke, says, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. What did she say? Lord, I'm willing. Lord, I'm willing. Now, I want to clarify something here today. I was speaking here the last little bit to the younger ones of the church. And when I say the younger ones of the church, I'm talking about the ones that just newly been saved and started working in church. And I want you to do that. Don't get me wrong. But ladies, gentlemen, you that have been here for a good little while, maybe you've already been doing some work. There's still work that needs to be done. And there needs to be a willing heart. Whether it would be for the service that you do outside or the service in here, there needs to be a willing heart like a Mary had here when she said, "Lord, let it be so." Brother Sam, in our Sunday school lesson today, he spoke of a time, and I bear witness with it because I've been there, done the same thing. He said the Lord called him, I think, when he was about 18, 19 year old. I was younger than that. But at that moment in time, I think every man that's ever been called by the grace of God to be a preacher of the gospel, Lord, no. We've all been there. I had two different preacher friends that basically, when that they were called to preach, they tried to suggest they go get somebody else. Even one of them named names. Brother Jackie would do a lot better job than I would. Brother Glenn would be good. I don't remember doing that myself. But the fact of the matter is, God placed it upon us. And yes, for 2 years, I don't know how long Brother Sam went. Yes, for 2 years, I went the other direction, and I went and went and went. Till finally, one Monday of revival, I became willing. Now, I'm not saying there's anybody here called to preach. If you are, you need to be willing to serve the Lord. It's not a job that I wish upon anyone, but I want you to know something. There's no better job in the world than being a God-called preacher. No greater opportunity in the world. The President of the United States, oh, he's got much more media. He's got many great responsibilities. But I'm going to tell you something. Working for the Lord is the greatest job there is. And I'm not talking about just being a preacher. I'm talking about being a member in this house, being willing to serve in the house of God, being willing to teach, to help people in the work of God, being willing to do that which He puts on us. And He's not expecting you to be like me. I hope you'd be better than me, to be honest with you. He's not expecting you to be able to stand up here and lead like Brother Brad. He's not expecting you to be up here and teach like some of these ladies do. But He is expecting you to be willing. Not according to that which you don't have, but according to that you have. Using what your abilities is. There's some of you that has the ability to identify with ones like me. Then there's some of you has a better ability to identify with these here and those there and that one and that one. Some of you have the abilities to do those kinds of work. And I know they're hard. I know they take time. But I want you to understand that there's great blessings in those things. Those people that gave in Moses' days, you know what happened with those people? Yeah, they give up their gold, their silver, their bracelets and such. They gave those things up. But you know what happened for those things that they gave? They received much more later on. You see, there's so many times that when we stand for the Lord that we don't see that immediate blessing. Oh, there'll be people come by. I appreciate what you said. Oh, what you said bless my soul. And then somewhere down the road, let me give you an example. Back years ago, I was when I was pastoring, I guess at Hogan's Creek, and I preached a message, and I've never forgotten this because it was such a blessing that day. The Bible says, and I believe it's in 2 Peter, he said, be ready always to give a reason for the hope that was within you. And I preached that message that day, and I said, what are you going to say if somebody calls on you? And what I did toward the end of the sermon, I looked back there and I think I said, Sister Kim, tell us, if I ask you what your reason, the hope, well, you can tell me. And she told me about being saved. I asked maybe Brother Robert over here on this side, and he told me. And then there was a lady over here, a little older lady, that never heard much out of her. But the Lord said, you asked her. And I said, Miss Earlene, I said, what's the reason of the hope you've got have within you? She not only told about being saved, she went into detail about it. Bless him. We don't always know what's going on. There was a young mother sitting over on this side, thought she'd been saved, wanting. I had my doubts just looking at her countenance. But she heard what Miss Earlene said. She said, that sounded just like me. I think a week or so later, I believe I remember the testimony right, she got down in her kitchen floor, started praying, and got saved. She told me about it a couple of weeks later. Didn't tell me about Miss Earlene's part. But then a little bit later, she told me, she says, that lady that spoke that day, and she referred to her, and she says, I don't even know her name. And I think it was probably another year before that she got willing to go and just give Miss Earlene a hug. Miss Earlene didn't even, she don't hear good, I'll be honest with you. Miss Earlene didn't even know what was going on, why she was hugging or anything. But the fact of the matter was, that was gold that was being given to her at that time. And you've got gold to give to the cause. It may look tarnished. It may look like it's nothing to give, be worthy of God's service. But I want you to understand today, it takes a willing heart. Not for you to polish it up to make it look good, but it's up to God to take it and use it and polish it where it's meet for God's service. My question, I guess, today is, do you have a willing heart? Let me give you one more verse and I'm going to hush. At the end of King David's reign, he started talking one day. He's talking to the people, his people. He was king of Israel. And he started talking about the blessings of God. And then he got to telling, God has chosen Solomon, my son, to be the king. And he turns around and he gives him some advice. How many of you ever give some of your family members some advice? At that point in time, boy, it didn't look like they paid a bit of attention to us. No, they didn't. They didn't even act like it fazed them one bit. I've been there. I've done that. I'm sure I was one of them that didn't pay attention, seemed like. But David started speaking to Solomon, and he gives him some advice. And he said, thou, Solomon, this is in the 9th verse of the 28th chapter of 1 Chronicles. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou that the God of thy fathers, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. You see, that's going to be my advice to each and every one of you today. Serve the Lord. Do it with a perfect heart, with a willing mind. We talk about us being spiritual beings. We talk about that a lot, don't we? That we really and truly cannot worship God in this flesh to the point of perfection, really. We can't do that, can we? But we have to get this into the matter, don't we? You remember what Jesus told the disciples when he had went into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray? When he came back, he said, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak," right? That's why we've got to conquer this. Notice the word I said, conquer this. How many of you did, when I asked you earlier, had an excuse given to you about not coming to church today? How many of you had to overcome this to be in your seat today? How many of you today has been blessed enough to give God the honor and glory for the fact of being in His house today? But you got to conquer this. Yeah, we have a willing mind. Yeah, I could do that. But I can't speak. But my back's tired. But I'm sleepy. But it's too late. But I just can't. You have gold. So Brad, go ahead. You have gold. It may look tarnished. May have that goofy green color even. But it's gold under there. If you are willing, God will clean it up. And He'll use it for His glory. It's what He'll do. Why are we singing?
Stand. Page 65. 65.